I just wanted to say Chastity Brown there played for Clint Baddeley, who passed away a year ago today. I was just told this morning, reminded this morning, and it has a lot happened in the last year, I can tell you. Anyway, our current councillor Lisa Thompson is here.
Morena koutou, morena Aaron. And yeah, just a big mihi to Clint's family. A year goes by so quickly. You know, and he was a man that gave a lot to this community over the 12 years that he was the councillor. So yeah, just want to acknowledge him and his whānau today.
Yeah, yeah. So how have you been anyway, Lisa? We haven't seen you for a little while. You had a bit of a holiday, I understand.
I had a little bit of a holiday. It was a celebration for my 50th birthday, which actually happened in 2020. So 3 years.
It's a bad year to celebrate anything.
Yeah, so we had been booked to go to Samoa on the 24th of March 2020 because I turned 50 in 2020. But obviously the nation went into lockdown on the 25th of March. So 3 years later, I found myself in Samoa for a week, which was actually really fantastic. And we stayed at a resort that's managed by a couple from Hamilton who now live in Samoa.
Okay.
And they have connections with Raglan because they looked at buying a property out at Whale Bay many years ago. So they have
probably
fond,
wish they had now, don't they?
That's exactly right. And they have very fond memories and relationships with Raglan, so it was like a little home away from home.
And did you enjoy driving along State Highway 23 when you came home?
It was fantastic, and what a superb job they've done, and that they were able to do the scheduled works on the Raglan side of the deviation as well. And
yeah, that's actually what everyone's talking about. They're like, wow, it's amazing. But I do remember I had to drive a horse. The first time I ever drove a horse float was over the divvy, this side of it was a real, the surface was a mess, and it was kind of freaking me out a little bit.
But, and they had scheduled that works for February anyway for that upgrade. Yeah. And you might remember that it was on the notice board and on various other channels that the road would be closed, you know, in the very late at night and very early in the morning. So in a way, although it was a challenge having State Highway 23 closed for that period of time, not only did we get a new part of the road built, but we also had the upgrade for State Highway 23 on the Raglan side.
So it's in good nick now. Actually, a question relating to that, obviously Ohotira Roads and Wairatuna Valley Road, and probably I didn't drive up Old Mountain Road, but lots of people were. They've all taken quite a hit now. Are they all three council roads that council's going to have?
Yes.
Ohotira is as well?
Ohotira Road is the council
and
road.
And I know the Wairatuna Roads are. So.
And so too is Old Mountain Road. And both Dennis Amor and I are working with our new roading manager, Grant, really in pushing to get some work done on particularly Wairatuna Valley Road.
Yeah, it's Corrugation City up there. I took one drive on it and I was like, wow.
I haven't been there. I haven't driven on that road for the last 3 weeks. Dennis and I went for a drive over the road just to have a look at the condition. And so I would need to talk to our roading manager to see how we're going with, if we were able to get extra funding from Waka Kotahi to help with some of the work on there. Because obviously Ohotira Road was the official detour route and part of the emergency recovery roadworks, because it was the designated detour, we were able to access funding from Waka Kotahi to repair that road. So they obviously did a drive over prior to it becoming the detour.
Oh, yeah.
And then I know that Waka Kotahi staff were driving over that road regularly, checking the condition of the road, and then obviously doing the repairs after.
I've heard anecdotally that Wairatuna Valley Road was used by the trucks working on this side of the divvy, but
there was that's my, not my understanding
proper
was
evidence.
That they were using it as a one in and then going out along another route is
okay,
my understanding.
Right. So
and I think that GM Hickton actually posted that on one of her updates as well. She had got clarity on that, so I can follow up on that as well. But people will take roads even if they advised otherwise.
Clearly, yeah, the behaviour on Old Mountain Road was quite worrying. And the amount of people who don't seem to know how to drive on gravel roads these days.
And, well, it's not,
again, this is responding to people's reports of what they're seeing.
So. Yeah, that's exactly right. And when Dennis and I drove over it, it was at the end of a long weekend, one of the long weekends actually, and there were a number of vehicles going from Raglan over Old Mountain Road, with some of them had boats.
Boats on Old Mountain Road.
Not Old Mountain Road, Waitatuna Valley Road,
right,
sorry.
Yeah. Still not a lot of fun.
Yeah, and so we did see that, but I only drove over that road once, so I can't comment other than seeing what was on social media on the Waitatuna Facebook page.
Yep. All right, so we'll wait and hear what Waka Kotahi's going to help us. We're probably a small problem in there. Basket of problems at the moment.
Oh, there's so much work going on, and I don't think that people realise also the impact that both the cyclone and the floodings previously had in our community. Up in Port Waikato, there was flooding of homes. There have been houses that are red stickered and yellow stickered as well. There were at one time over 2,000 houses without power for a reasonable period of time. And we had, 22 road closures, 120-something slips across the district. So it was an insignificant amount of work that had to be dealt with by staff. So, and they're still doing catch-up work as well as doing the normal business as usual.
I presume it might cause some business as usual to be delayed fairly substantially. I mean, you can't just pull working hours out of thin air.
Oh, and I'm really proud of our staff who actually worked around the clock at that time of need, both in the civil defence space when the declaration of the an emergency declaration, getting out there and doing the work over and above their normal business hours, their normal roles. So just a big mihi to all of the people who are out there, as well as the community members as well. And I know, again, up at Port Waikato and other communities really rallying around supporting whānau. And from Puihakana Marae opening up as emergency accommodations, should anyone feel that they needed it, so we were able to respond in many ways across our district.
Yeah. Has it given, I asked Dennis the same question, has the cyclone given renewed impetus for dealing with the civil defence plan?
Absolutely, yep. Yeah. And we've had, obviously before the weather events, myself, Dennis and Ross Wallace met up to look at our civil defence plan. We've also met with Anisha and Scott, who are part of our civil defence team at council, get some traction and getting some training done for our community. And then we've had a catch-up online, those of us who could get together to look at doing more work on that plan. And obviously now that I'm back from my holiday, I was away for a week, I'm going to really concentrate on that next week because I've been quite busy catching up on lots of work.
We had been talking in the past year or so about an internal bus for Raglan. Where is that at the moment?
It's actually with Regional Council because we need to work with Regional Council around that bus service, and currently they are really under-resourced.
Yep. Financially? I know they can't get enough bus drivers. That's a nationwide
manpower,
problem.
Woman power, people power. So just
anyone
having,
who can drive a bus, please.
Yeah. So for us, it's actually just having a person or a resource from Regional Council to work with us on our bus service. So that's where it's at the moment. Yeah.
All right. So they're not talking about the drivers. There's actually someone just the staff.
Well, you remember Andrew Wilson used to be the person that would come from Regional Council to talk about the bus services.
So he's moved on, I presume.
He's moved on. Yeah. He's gone into consultancy, actually.
Maybe they could hire him back.
Well,
just for us.
I actually don't think that's a silly idea if that's what he's doing. And working for Regional Council because he certainly is very familiar with Raglan and the bus services.
Yeah, okay. Let's stick with the traffic issues. There's a traffic bylaw which I was just reading about in my regular news bulletin, and although some have kind of characterised it as bringing in some new bylaws, a lot of it's already pre-existing rules, like you can't skate downtown and things like that.
Well, we've got the traffic bylaw, and then we've also got our you know, the proposal for our public places bylaw.
Yeah.
So our public places bylaw is looking at things around our signage, for election signage, and also implementing a district-wide approach to the riding of, you know, skateboards and scooters.
Wheeled recreational vehicles.
That's what I'm reading.
The phrase here. I saw.
So there's actually two bylaws that are out for consultation, or for, I'm not going to use the word consultation. It's out for you to have a say on, our communities across the district. So we've got our traffic bylaw, the proposal of statement for that, and then we've got our public places bylaw, which that's where the skateboards and scooters sit. And actually, Raglan already has that provision. It's other communities across the district.
Oh, okay. There's a special one for Raglan.
Yeah, so Raglan already, as you know, I think you were mentioning before that your daughter was pulled over.
When she was little, folks, she was six or seven. Yeah.
By the Māori wardens when John Bishop had his office in town about that. So it's not a new part of the bylaw for Raglan, to be honest.
Yeah.
So we need to be quite clear that there's the public places bylaw, and then there's the traffic bylaw that's out.
Yeah. And also trading in a public place or on the road or the street or the sidewalk, that's covered by that as well, isn't it?
That's the public places bylaw.
There's the public places bylaw. So any local businesses who want to know more about that, it could be worth checking out. I imagine the Chamber of Commerce is advising on that.
So there are two bylaws currently out for input and your say, and they're open until the 27th of March, and you can find that on our Waikato District Council website under Say It. Okay. So it'll take you right through to there. So please have your say.
Back to the disaster stuff, the Mayoral Relief Fund is open to, is that till Tuesday? Is there many people in Raglan who are going to need help from that, or is that more likely to be people up at Port Waikato?
I actually don't know if Raglan people or the Whangaroa ward, if there are any people who have actually applied for that. We won't know that, obviously, until it closes. But a lot of the, you know, flooding and the major damage to personal property, you know, the houses particularly are in the north at Port Waikato and areas there, and I know that there a number of whānau that are up there that weren't insured.
Yeah, that's a tricky one.
So,
now.
Yeah, it's really tricky. Candy Ngātaki, who's one of the councillors, not for the port, but she whakapapa's there. She'd sent us videos of some of the damage, and it was quite significant.
Okay, did you attend the Zoom meeting for the? The sewage
I did last night. It was really good because obviously it's the first one we've had since June last year.
Right.
And Axel Beck, when he was the councillor for Tamahere, he was the facilitator of those hui. So Eugene Patterson, in his role as the infrastructure chair, has taken over that role. So it was
he's
the
another,
first
another
hui.
Councillor.
That's right.
Wondering.
He's the councillor for Newcastle Ngārua Wahia. Along with Janet Gibbs. So that was his first gig last night. And I thought it went really well. And really it was bringing people up to speed of where we're at, what's happened. And the technical guys like Stephen Howard and Richard from Waikato District Council, and also our water care representative, Kevin Martin, was on the Zoom as well. So we had a lot of technical information that was shared. And obviously people, because the proposal is a block of land off Mangatawhiri Road as a possibility for land-based treatment, and there's a whole process that we have to go through before we can even consider that, including a memorandum of understanding between the landowner and council, for example, needs to be nutted out if that were to be the place. So it was really to bring people up to speed of where we're at.
Were there other members of the public came to the Zoom meeting?
There was members of the public.
Because at the last community board meeting, a few people from Mangatawhiri Road were
there. Most of the attendees were residents from Mangatawhiri Road as well. So you can actually go online because it was recorded.
Oh, yeah.
And you can go on to check out on the Waikato District Council website. There's actually a page, and if you put in the search Raglan Wastewater Resource Consent, it will bring you up to the page that has all of the information of the process thus far. And as you know, Aaron,
we've been working on this
for almost 3 years now.
Yeah. Sorry, is that a YouTube video probably?
It is, yeah.
So you can also go straight to the Waikato District Council channel,
YouTube channel. So I thought it went really well. Eugene did a really good job. And our technical guys, and I'm sure there was some confusion for some people who are new to the corridor around this. But like I said, you can go and familiarise yourself with the process thus far and all the information on the Waikato District Council website.
So at the community board meeting, some of the people talking from Watercare and Council were saying that they want to do a bit of big picture look at infrastructure for Whangaroa, because you have to have a pipe to pump the sewage to the location where the land-based treatment is happening, and normally pipes like that go on roads. So then that has implications about a future road around, like a bypass kind of road around Raglan.
Yeah, from Mangatawhiri Road over to Wainui Road. And there are plans for that as well in the future.
When do we see the reports? I guess that's where I'm going with that.
I can't answer that.
So they weren't at this meeting though?
No.
Okay,
no.
All right.
So I can't answer that, but you know, I know that Hapu have been involved in the discussions right along, and I believe that both Taruki Thompson and Angeline Greensill and others were up on site recently with staff looking at that and discussing what those options. And of course, I think overwhelmingly Raglan wants land-based treatment. You know, we've heard that quite clearly.
Yes.
And particularly, you know, recently with the weather event where we've had to have the treated wastewater discharge on the incoming tides. And Keith Martin, who's our waters guy at Waikato District Council, he, you know, clearly said last night that, you know, that a discharge to the water, to the Moana, is still part of the entire mix because of the weather events and the capacity of land-based treatment to manage, you know, the amount of treated wastewater.
Yeah, well, another cyclone located more over us than the Coromandel will dump a lot of rain, and we know that no matter what we do, I think that's going to keep getting into the sewage system.
Oh, and that's
what's going to cause the need to do that.
And that's the sad reality of the situation we find ourselves in. And when we're going into a future that has more severe weather events, rain events particularly, it's a reality that is on our doorstep right now.
Yeah, yeah. Yes, all right. So stay tuned, I guess, for that one.
And we're having, we've decided yesterday evening that we would probably have regular monthly updates via Zoom, which is easy because the Zoom is so easy because people can just dial in as opposed to physically going to face-to-face corridor is good because it is quite disconcerting when people are on a Zoom and they don't have their cameras on and you don't know who's speaking.
Oh, was there a bit of that? Yeah,
yeah, so it would be really lovely that people actually turn on their cameras when they speak.
Feeling shy maybe.
Yeah.
Speaking of cameras, let's segue to CCTV cameras. There was some funding applied for by the council
through the Better Off funding.
Which is a government funding set of funds. And that did get approved.
It is approved.
Have they given us the money?
Not yet, because what we have to do, in fact, this was timely because Darren, who is our staff member working on the Better Off funding, just sent out an email on Wednesday just giving an update. And so we should have begun signing our funding agreements to start claiming from the fund by now, but there's been delays, and that was potentially due to the impacts of the recent events and also the change in caucus, given that we've got a new Prime Minister.
Oh, right.
So those have had an impact on
Oh,
that.
Yeah, because he's...
Yeah,
he's,
so he's been in
he's
a
like,
month.
It's a reset. We're doing things differently and we're not doing...
It doesn't mean that we won't get the funding because that is already there.
It's already promised. It's
also, yeah, and so it's those funding agreements. So it's imminently arriving. When that will happen, we will need to watch the space, but I'll keep you updated. So that's
okay,
where we
cool.
are at the moment.
All right, and in this new council term, you are the chair of a new council committee. The
Sustainability and Wellbeing Committee.
Right,
we
yep.
had our first hui on the 22nd of February, and that hui was really more FYI updates. So what sits under primarily in my committee are the community funding, the blueprinting,
yep.
Climate, civil defence, all the community front-facing activities, the Māori strategy, all sorts. So for me, it's really exciting, but it's very, very broad.
Yeah, sounds like it.
So
yeah.
As we move forward, we'll be fine-tuning realistically what that committee will look like. So I had an update from Rachel Goddard, our climate extraordinaire, on where we're at as an organisation with our mapping for climate adaptation and mitigation. We had an update on the blueprinting and our community-led development. Also an update from our civil defence. So they had done a small report, which was obviously by the time the 22nd came, was already outdated because of both the events that had happened recently. So it was a good hui and lots of good discussion. And then we'll have another one in April.
Okay, so you've been given all these things, but you must have a vision yourself for what.
It's hard to get a vision when it's so broad. I would really like it to be more focused on climate adaptation and mitigation for obvious reasons.
Yeah,
and that's a huge challenge for all councils across New Zealand. And it sits across. From our infrastructure to our people to our environment. So that's massive. So that is a priority for me personally, but we have to work through that. And obviously developing relationships with mana whenua is another important aspect that sits alongside that, because as we've seen in the recent events, those who have been most affected have been Māori. So there's a lot of challenges. So we really need to, over the next 6 months, really think about what we want to achieve from the Sustainability and Wellbeing Committee.
Yeah. And it's, I don't really know. I mean, the committee, these committees, like there's four main committees for council, and they're where some serious action happens in the council. So I imagine it takes a while to get it all settled in.
And we've got some big decisions coming up, Aaron. We've got our annual plan, which influences, obviously sets out the work that we have for the next year. But then further to that, we've got our long-term plan, considerations to have in 2024. And so we've started planning for that.
For people that the annual plan is the yearly update of the long-term plan, which is a three-yearly updated document that looks 10 years ahead.
Yeah, I know, right. It sounds really confusing, and it is,
And it's where the money spends, it's where the rubber hits the road, folks, it's where the council spends its money.
Yeah, that's, and we make those decisions on where we spend our money, and we've got some massive decisions, and then we look at inflation and the cost of living, all thrown into the mix. It's going to be a very, very difficult long-term plan, and knowing that we have to put more investment into our infrastructure, given the weather events that we've had, it's... what are we going to take out and what are we going to leave in? What are the nice-to-haves? What are the things that we must have, for our communities and with an affordability lens? So it's not going to be easy. Look, we're looking at inflation of 7%.
Yeah.
So
did you see the regional council put their rates up, which is much smaller than the district council rates, put them up about 5%, which is about three times as much as they said they were going to do, but still not keeping pace with inflation.
And they
so.
Remember at one stage in their considerations they didn't put the rates up at all, so they have in that framework, I think that was about 3 or 4 years ago, you have to play catch up.
But they had to get, I was discussing the sums with John, because they had to give a pay rise to bus drivers to get more bus drivers, that's required, was it an extra million
I wouldn't be surprised.
Actually did the sums on the air while John was talking about it because I thought that seems too much. But when you work out how many buses there are in the area, it's substantial. And
they work shift work as well.
I personally agree that they should be paid more. It does come at a cost. Yeah.
And those are the balancing that we will have to undertake in council, and amongst the needs of and wants of our communities that we represent as well. You know, so it's not going to be easy.
Yes.
And then you know you might have a rates increase of X amount percentage, but then on top of that, for places like Raglan, we have our targeted rates. Which we've made a commitment, for example, for those people who are on the wastewater infrastructure. You know, there was those increases over time. So it's not just coming out with a percentage, but then on top of that, there are the other
percentage
parts of the rates.
The percentage applies to the general rate, but that's is that even half of our actual rates bill? It varies for everybody, I realise. But it feels like for me, not having looked at my rates bill for a very long time, but I feel like it's very, very roughly around half.
Yeah, it's a reasonable component of our rates.
Yeah,
our targeted rates on top of that.
When we talk about it, it feels like it's most of it, but that's not
it's
the case.
Not because,
so there's all these other ones you're talking about.
There's the targeted
about,
rates for the, you know, the food waste. There's for, and, you know, with Raglan, we also have a more bespoke waste management, if you like, for the services that are provided for our curbside food waste collection, our recycling out at Te Mata and Tiuku. There's the the recycling, which is a different cost as well. So there's lots of considerations when, you know, we go in to deliberate around the annual plan and the long-term plan.
I know when we first had worries about, was it 5-7 years ago, about the sewage pumping, but ending up in the harbour, raw sewage coming out of manholes ending up in there. We agreed to spend extra money, and I can't remember whether that purely came from a general rate or whether there was an extra rate put on Raglan residents as well.
Anyone who is on the reticulated system, who get those services where they have their water, their wastewater and stormwater provision by council, is targeted rated. So that includes like Huntly, Ngārua, Wahia.
Is it a standard cost for each community? Or is
it is.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, my understanding, it is. Yeah. So those services, so there's a parity across the board. I'll double check because I don't want to be found a liar for saying it is.
Yep.
I'm 99% sure it is. So it's those who are on who receive those services.
Yeah, and the
complicating. I think it's about $1,200 to $1,300 on top of your rates.
Yeah.
But then, so I'll check that.
And just to make it, like the government was trying to do something about council infrastructure. We all know about the Three Waters project, and it's turned into a huge bun fight, which is going. Ultimately, it will delay money coming in to sort those problems out. I think that's all I want to say about that.
If you remember, Aaron, in 2016, Waikato District Council, we all re-embarked on a journey of Three Waters reform. So it's not new to us. When we were working initially prior to 2016 with Hamilton City Council and Waipa around amalgamating those water services.
Yeah.
In the end, Hamilton and Waipa pulled out of that, but we continued that and embarked on our relationship with Watercare.
Yeah, which is why they're involved in the land-based treatment. And
it brings in that expertise, which, you know, if you go back and listen to the Zoom and look at the information that we have about the Raglan wastewater resource consent, you'll see what their expertise has actually brought to the district, not just for Raglan, but last night was mentioned that, you know, they'll probably organise a trip to Meremere, where we've got the MBR, which is proposed.
A thing that chews up wastewater?
Yeah, that actually helps purify it more.
Okay, that's a better phrase than what I had. Yeah,
to help purify it more. And I know that some of my fellow councillors have already been there. I haven't, and I'd be really interested to go and see what they've got at Meremere. And so there was a suggestion for those who are interested to go and check that out.
Yeah, so it's we're forecasting money having to be spent somehow from somewhere.
And there were the dollar figures that were shared last night as well, and I can't remember them off the top of my head.
They will have got bigger because
they are big figures. They are massive figures. They're not insignificant amounts of investment. So I just really encourage the community to go in and have a look at that information.
Yeah. So at the moment that's in video form.
The Zooms are on the Waikato District Council YouTube channel.
Yeah.
And also you can get the information where we are to date on our website. And you just put in the search Rag and Wastewater Resource Consent and it'll come up to that page.
Up. Okay. And folks, we've been talking to our councillor Lisa Thompson, if you hadn't already guessed. And is there anything else that you're working on at the moment that now that I've probably... It's probably like sitting in an exam meet interviewing you and you
Well, I just finished my councillor's report for the up-and-coming community board hui, which is going to be on the 22nd of March.
Uh-huh.
At 1:30 is the public forum from 1:30 till 2. Well, just after 1:30, actually. So at the Town Hall Supper Room. So that's coming up. So I really encourage people to come along to that. Exciting. We've got a citizenship ceremony in council on Tuesday, and I believe there's a few Raglanders I know who doing their citizenship ceremony, so I'm really excited about that. That will be in council chambers, so it's always really neat to welcome people who are within our community who are taking on citizenship for Aotearoa. There's Liz Amor's book launch on the 16th of March at the museum about the cemeteries in Raglan. And you might want to get her and have a talk about
written. That one has escaped my attention.
Yeah, so that's next Thursday in the evening. And then we have on the 21st of March at the iHub the launch of our new iHub website, which is fantastic. So we
are
launching
the website that's already there? Or?
It is, but we've tweaked it. When I use the royal we, I had nothing to do with it.
Brian's doing it.
Yeah. And yep. So we're launching that. So we're inviting our accommodation providers and our, different community members and businesses.
Actually, because I spoke to Brian a week or so ago and he did say that it could do with more volunteers.
We could all. I think every organisation across Raglan could do with more volunteers. And
we'll start
if there's
with one.
Anyone, well, we'll be seeing. I'm doing some articles focusing on our fantastic volunteers, and John Garside is our first cab off the rank. So hopefully he'll be our poster boy, and people will see how much fun he has been a volunteer.
You're a volunteer at the iHub too, aren't you?
I'm a volunteer at the iHub as well, so it is a lot of fun.
Generally for people, what would it involve being a volunteer? Like,
it's really been an ambassador for Raglan.
How many hours a week?
It's the shifts are only 2.5 hours.
Okay.
So it's either morning or afternoon, and you get to engage with locals as well as visitors who are from New Zealand, but also international visitors. And my last shift at the Hub was just after the flooding in Auckland.
The airport got flooded.
Yeah, and then I had people who'd come in as a last flight into New Zealand on that Friday evening.
And arrived into a swimming pool, basically.
They did. And the lady, they'd come from, this particular couple who were English, had come from a beautiful holiday in Australia to inundation in New Zealand, and then they came to Raglan. So I said, I feel that your holidays just got way better.
Yeah, it was a challenge for everyone getting out of Auckland. They should make a movie about it. All right, Lisa, thank you for coming in this morning.